Over the next 3 years, 92% of companies plan to increase their AI investments. And we're going to talk about the current state of play, where we see it heading, and the problems that could potentially arise.
Welcome to Influential Visions. Here we interview futuristic leaders who share their deep industry knowledge and business experience with you, ensuring you have your finger on the pulse and your eyes wide open. Here is your host, Nathaniel Schooler.
Join me with Yael Tamar as we dive into the challenge of figuring out if AI will truly revolutionize business strategies by the end of 2025. Yael's from Distributed Brokers. It's lovely to see you again. We've done a few interviews before, and I always find your input very valuable.
Thank you, Nate. Hi, thank you for having me. I think we always have these back and forth dialogues that make me think about what we're going to do next. So I'm forward to exploring this with you today.
We've been talking a lot about chatbots over the past month or so, because there have been some sort of rogue chatbots, which, as you, I know you're a mother, I'm a father as well. My daughter's quite, you know, in her teens. And the chatbots that were kind of launched, no one is to blame for these things, right? There was a situation where, you know, people were talking to chatbots that were basically, they were teenage girls, and they were talking to the chatbots were teenage girls. And it's a real problem, I think, the regulation of these kind of things. And obviously there's this back and forth between the industry, the government, the parents, the users of these kind of things. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of, we're in a sort of situation where if regulation snaps down on these platforms, then obviously it can damage innovation, and it's going to damage the businesses that are creating these tools, right? But it's an interesting state of play where we are right now.
New innovation and compliance, that's just the way things are. You definitely want to protect children first and foremost, right? And it's very easy to prey on adults nowadays as well, in terms of fraud, in terms of information and data. But what I find fascinating is roadblocks, for example, right? I have a 9-year-old son and I have a 12-year-old daughter. So, of course, the 12-year-old wants a TikTok account, and in 1 year, let's say, Instagram and all of that. And the 9-year-old is obviously addicted to computer games, and we're working on it. They're going in, and some of them are inventing games, sharing games with each other, but ultimately it's become a social tool beyond anything else. And there is obviously a big controversy behind taking kids' data and using them technically, you know, as unwilling customers, right? So on one hand, they're willing customers, willing clients, but they're being used as a part of the creation of the game and the social experience. And it's become a social experience. And I think the scariest thing about not even chatbots, but just this digital culture, is that legitimately they look at statistics of Gen Z and now Gen Alpha versus the millennials, for example, and things that look positive to you, like, you know, there's less teen pregnancies, less alcohol consumption, and stuff like that. But then they're looking in, looking further down into the data, and why are they not going out? Why are they not dating? Why are they not drinking alcohol? It's because all they do is sit on the phone. And while right now the communication is human to human, you don't know that anymore, right? It could be human to chatbot, but with chatbots becoming more fascinating and more developed and more interesting, you know, you have this interesting and engaging conversation. Like when Hume AI came out, that was my thing. I would spend hours a day just talking to Hume AI, because, you know, I was pitching to investors, pitching my startup to investors. We entered the raise for distributed brokers. And then I did my lifeguard recertification, you know, water safety. And so, you know, simulate for me somebody who's drowning. And they're doing a perfect job. It's a perfectly emotionally intelligent being. Who can be in distress, who can also analyze my feelings, my emotions, my, you know, if I want him to pay attention to my level of confidence or authority and thing and react in real time. So there's definitely a lot of benefit in it. And the, but I think coupled together with two trends, with kids being even more into digital, kids, teens, young people are withdrawing from the social environment, face-to-face environment. When those two trends are coupled together, that's where I think the danger lies.
Were horrifically being used, I would say, by paedophiles. So they were talking to, I mean, you probably heard about it, I imagine, knowing you, because you're kind of all over the technology space at the moment and have been for a long time. And it was deeply disturbing, but it's like these companies need to have better due diligence practices, I think, when they invest in companies, in my personal opinion. But it's really quite an exciting time, I think, but also, you know, like you say, it is worrying because I've noticed this trend as well. My daughter's kind of similar age to your child, one of your children. And they do have this trend of staying in, but also so do the 20-something guys. I mean, here where I live in Croatia, a lot of women in their 20s are dating guys in their 30s and 40s because the guys in their 20s basically live with their parents still. They play on games all day. They never go out and they just sit there smoking weed. But like, has anything really changed apart from more guys are doing that in the last, say, 10 years, you know? It's kind of a worrying space where we are right now with a lot of these guys just doing that. But in terms of the benefits for businesses, I think there are a lot of benefits for businesses. They can obviously streamline the operations, but we were talking a little bit about like the database situation that you mentioned a little bit earlier. And you know, how they have to get ready to embrace these technologies, right? Because until they get their things in order, they, never mind. We'll get there. I'm going to pause. So when it comes to businesses actually making bold moves into the chatbot arena and using their data, using customer data, and actually getting to grips with implementation of these systems, we know over the last 10 years, 15 years, even 20 years, that loads of implementations have actually just failed due to poor management, due to basically just not having the right databases in place, the right technologies have been deployed. But actually, it's like anything, if you base it on a foundation of rubbish, it's not going to actually deliver what the business needs. So What are you sort of seeing in on that front at the moment?
Let's look at companies that succeeded tremendously in the last 2-3 years with AI, and you know, went public or became extremely successful with chatbots or any other AI technology implementation. And the majority of these companies have had very, very organized customer management systems or structured data systems, you know, or they were dealing with data. So whoever was preparing for this, whether consciously or not, you know, kind of these anal retentive types of businesses, they essentially have come to the forefront. And the rest of kind of innovators that are running, you know, running ahead and trying to, let's say, get clients, sales, and all of that, but didn't have that component, are essentially left behind. And that's what I see, you know, chatbots and AI tools, automation tools are these shiny objects that if you add them to a business, like adding a brooch to, you know, a crappy $5 blazer from Timo, you know, you're not going to you're not going to be able to, you know, outshine and outcompete with this type of a setup. And in order to enhance your business, you really have to have the basics. So that's all it's about. And I think it also boils down to what I call the Elon Musk methodology, and where you see this person running, you know, half a dozen companies, most of them, many of them public, and also now the whole country basically doing customer support or IT support for the United States of America. What is the secret? And from what I've learned is essentially five things. And you'd be surprised, innovation is not the first. In order to create a real innovative process, the first step is outlining all the steps. The second step is to throw out or erase whatever you can. Just take it all out. And that's what you see they're doing right now, whether you consider it successful or not, but with the US government. Just throw out a bunch of stuff and you can put it back in. Like if everything stops, you can put it back in. So that's the second step. The third step is to look at the remaining process stages and simplify them, make them more efficient, and do anything you can to recreate the process for this data-driven automation that's going to come in the next step, in step number four, which is really where you're starting to automate, and you are not allowed to touch automation. And that's where chatbots lie. You literally, like, if you're not putting chatbot on top of crappy processes, more likely you're going to increase your costs instead of lower them. So you really have to get the basics done. And the fifth stage, after you kind of did initial automation, maybe putting a chatbot where you used to manually send a WhatsApp message when the sales lead came in, and now you're sending them an automated WhatsApp message. I'm going to maybe attach some information from their social media, or I'll understand what they like, and I'm going to send a proposal based on that, or just all kinds of bells and whistles that you can now add using AI as well, right? Like even Salesforce has this BI tool. You know, all of that is all great and fantastic, but unfortunately, it doesn't come in the early stages. You have to do the boring, grueling
stuff. AI benefit businesses. I mean, and it's about asking the right questions, isn't it? To filter for example, in customer service departments, when you can filter those questions into the right agent, right? Like if they want to speak to a person, an actual manual implementation, right? It actually is quite useful. I mean, it saves so much cost, but these things are not new, right? Like they've gone on for, you know, these things have been used in big business for a long, long time, but now in small to medium, even solopreneurs can use these things and actually future-proof their businesses and their careers as well, right? But there are so many potential problems that can exist here. For example, you know, data leakage, yeah, and security minefields that occur here from the people that I speak to with, you know, within big businesses, actually, in particular, that the people are not given access to these tools, and they go and use them in the public cloud, and actually then the information that they're putting in there can become a risk to that business, just as one example.
So yeah, there's definitely a lot of compliance considerations, but we're not even getting to that problem, frankly, just because it's just so difficult to still use AI and integrate it and program it. Even if you have tools that are super easy to use or were created to be used by non-programmers, no code, and you think you're going in and it's no code and magic is going to happen and you're going to be able to talk to the robot and say, build me a chatbot for a travel industry or for a law practice or whatever, that's not happening. And yeah, templates do exist, but you still need to connect things. You still need to hire somebody. And of course you do, because it's an industry. The industry is not going to shoot itself in the foot right now. And also it's focused on competing against so many other players. So if it starts now innovating those little things, that's going to be it's going to be very hard, because on the AI front, they're going to miss out. And so they're going for the moat, right? The place where they really can beat their competitors. It's easier for them to innovate. One process that's the most difficult for everybody to innovate, it is that human process. It is the difficulty and the customization. When you are working with clients and processes, you have so many different scenarios. You have so much variability. And it's not only in the conversation, kind of the chatbot, but where do you go with a client? What you send them, where you send them to, there's just so much, and it's so difficult to automate. And so nobody's even going there. They're going for incremental differences, so, incremental things. So I want to see, that part of the industry develop more. But if you ask me the compliance, Nate, like, yeah, that was the question. Sorry. Like a year and a half ago, I wanted to launch some sort of a consulting practice, or you know, a side business helping with compliance, because compliance is really my strength, and that's a big part of distributed brokers, where we do we automate securitization or syndication of assets and private asset transactions. Enable essentially turning them into Lego blocks, so you can construct funds of different private assets that mimic S&P 500s and things like that. So the whole compliance behind that, that's kind of my bread and butter. I've been in private equity analysis and all of that since 2005. So it's like, okay, so now I can use my knowledge to help businesses navigate the compliance when it comes to AI, using data, using when it comes to AI communicating with clients and connecting different bits and pieces and APIs, training agents to communicate like your salespeople, giving third-party agents access to the data of your business. All of that is a very, very highly complex space. And very quickly, I realized that we're so much behind that thinking. Like, we can't even get the databases in order, Nate. Like, we're not even in the compliance space right now. Only the large players are there, but the small players can't even set up their own chatbots yet. Companies that are dealing with a lot of clients, like HMOs, you know, help. I want to be using all the AI tools in my business, and I want to enable different clients, you know, on the marketing side, on the syndication side, to start using AI. And in order to use AI, like, what is AI? You know, let's go back to the basics. Essentially, the AI industry, or the Gen AI industry, is supposed to streamline analysis of data, you know, receiving input from maybe clients or from partners, and then giving some sort of an output that used to be done manually, right? Or, you know, you want the easiest thing is you wanted to create a logo. Now you got one in a couple of seconds. You know, a crappy one. You wanted to create a presentation. Well, now there is actually Gamma.ai, which I think is really decent. It solved a lot of my problems, my needs, right? So as far as individuals are concerned, right, so our lives are much better because we, you know, get a personal assistant, so to speak, that you have to micromanage the max. And so that's the kind of AI that everybody's seeing all day long. The road from there to a place where, as a business, instead of spending 80% of your time on admin and 20% of your time on your art, right, kind of innovating or giving people incredible service or giving people incredible knowledge or whatever you're doing with the business that you're creating, and you're catering 80% of the time to kind of managing processes that you could automate. I think it really is a lot. You can automate a huge percentage of your business, and the issue, the bottleneck in not being able to automate your lead generation, your lead processing, you know, and qualification, nurturing, signing proposals, you know, conversion essentially to a client. And then you go, you know, all the client success starts, right? So they're talking essentially about the agents being able to do all these small parts in the journey. From the sales to all the way to customer success. So these agents obviously need to communicate. These agents need obviously compliance rules and things like that. That's all great. And essentially we'll be able to, now we actually can do this. This is amazing. You can actually train an agent to do all of these things and then to communicate with each other. But what can we not get done? You just don't have these processes set up in the company that are done properly with, you know, software that you can then connect to the agents. Essentially have a human doing things and, you know, step by step and, you know, this in-depth knowledge of process and methodology that's not digitized anywhere. So we first need to go through digitization of the whole process and then we can use AI. And that, I think, is a huge, huge problem. Unfortunately, there's not a lot of money in doing this because essentially it's a service. It's very non-scalable right now. And I hope I'm wrong because
Yeah, I mean, there are certain apps that you know, you can use for these sorts of things. But the problem is that they take time as well. And you need to know what they are and you need to know what you have. And people just don't know what they have. This is half the problem, isn't it? And they don't know what they need. But the beauty of the small business is that they can actually start from the beginning, right? And they can grow from where they are and they can actually put that in place. Whereas a big business or a larger business has more trouble in kind of understanding what they have and actually putting it all in place, right? So it's a really interesting space right now. I think that the next few months are going to be very interesting. I think that there are developments coming along all the time within this space. And it's just a matter of understanding that data, you know, and working it out, isn't it really?
I think that if you're starting a business today, then you should start right with all the right tools and to invest in these tools, to investigate, to use maybe companies like Salesforce that have all-in-one and then that heavily invested in AI and you can integrate everything in. Like I'm a big fan of Zapier and Make and, you know, all the tools that encompass just absolutely everything in the, you know, internet verse. So I would say for anybody starting today, that would be a crucial, crucial step to invest in this data infrastructure. And for anybody who's already doing this and, you know, up and running, I think it is a big challenge to actually invest in redoing the whole thing. And we have a couple of clients that actually are understanding that they need this right now. You know, anybody who's dealing with clients on a daily basis, they understand that they're going to be left behind. Yeah.
100%. 100%. Well, it's been great. Always enjoy speaking with you. And do go and check out mondayinfluencer.com because we've got lots of great resources there. And yeah, thank you so much for watching, everyone.
Thanks very much for listening to Influential Visions. Please make sure you share this episode with your friends and business connections. And don't forget to drop us a review wherever you listen. Thanks.